Wow, all of your beautiful faces. Can I have you guys stand with me today? Yeah, I've been really working on going after and keeping my focus on the Lord in this season, because I feel like during this season, it's really easy to get stressed out about all the things that we have to do, all the, you know, like things that you have to pick up or that we feel we have to do, right? Because, you know, the season brings... It's supposed to be the season of perpetual hope and joy, but I feel like a lot of us feel like in order to achieve that, we have to have all the perfect gifts and all the things perfectly aesthetic and all this whatnots. And I just want us to take a moment, because I feel like God was like, I never meant for that. I never meant for any of those things. I like his hope, he says in Hebrews 4:1, it says, now the promise of entering into God's rest is still for us today. This is the Passion Translation, by the way. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did. Yet they chose not to join in their faith in with the word. He's talking about the Israelites. You know, they went out and they heard him, they saw him do these things, and they still didn't attach their faith and didn't stay in his rest. They continued to be discouraged and continued to complain and continued to be in anxious. And God's like, when are you going to get it? I've given you everything. Enter into my rest, enter into me. And so they weren't able. They never did get to enter into that promised land. And I don't want us to be that. I don't want us to miss that mark or make this season about things that it's not. So I want to do something a little different today, if you guys will just bear with me. And that's get a little bit outside of our comfort zone. I really want us to do something kind of different. And if you would, with me, come on up here to the altar and allow him to move on you differently than before. It's, you don't have to. He'll meet you right in your seat. He's not a God that has to have you up here to move, but it's us and breaking off our own insecurities and our own things that allow us to kind of get into that place of like, oh yeah, okay, God, you know, like putting your forehead to his and just making the main thing right now. Yeah. So God, we just give you this time, Lord, we lay down all anxieties right now in the name of Jesus. God, any thoughts that aren't of you right now, Father, we ask that they would be cast into the sea and that your peace, God, would just begin to fall on in this place. God, that our hearts would be open to you and things that you want to do in it. Lord, we give this service to you as a beautiful fragrance of love, God. Thank you for this season. Thank you for your son who came in this season, God, to give us hope, to give us joy, to bring us relationship and peace, God. Yeah, we just, in this time of worship, Father, just say thank you. Thank you that you lived the life of humanity to give us an example to walk out, God. And that you desire us so much that you gave up your son so we could be in a relationship with you without restraints, without interpreters, without a veil between you and me. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. God, we give you permission to move as creatively and as zealously as you want to today. We give you our hearts, Father. We lay ourselves before you in Jesus' name. Thank you.
Every breath that I am in. of the earth and sky. He saw it all and said that it was good. The joy was set before your eyes. You knew that you would give your life. He saw it all and said that it was good. And behold, behold, the one of love is come. Behold, behold, the one our King is come. Behold, 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 the one of love is come. Behold, behold, the one our King is come. The heavens, the heavens roar, the earth stood still. His final breath, he tore the veil. The angels sang, holy is his name. Defeated death,
sight long before my first breath, running into your arms is running to life from death, and I feel this rush deep in my chest. Your mercy is calling out, just as I am, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. My heart has been in your sight long before my first breath. Rush deep in my chest, your mercy is calling out, just as I am, God, you pull me in, and I know I need you now. Run to the Father, fall in grace, I'm done with the hiding, reason away. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again. I run to the Father, fall into grace, I'm done with the hiding, the reason away. My heart needs a surgeon, my soul needs a friend, so I'll run to the Father again and again and again and again. Oh, again and again and again and again.
Song says that we're running to the Father, but like that first line says, that we were in his heart before our first breath. He originally runs to us. He's the one who removes the veils, removes the scales, removes the blockages that are keeping us from seeing his love in our lives, from keeping us from seeing the true life that he has for us. He runs to us. He redeems us. Like Jesus said, I chose you. You didn't choose me. So what we're doing is we're returning that love that he's showing us by running to us, by running to him. Running away from the lies of this life, running away from the entrapment of this life, running away from the distractions of this life, into his arms, into his safe place of rest in him. Lord, we choose to run after you today. And not just today, Lord, help us choose to run after you, Lord, every day of our lives. Never let us take you for granted. Never let us put you on the back burner, Lord, when you deserve to be in the front, the head of our hearts, the head of our lives. Let's sing that run to the Father again and again, one more time. Just picture that you're returning to Him because He's returned. He's chased after you. He's redeemed you. He's pulled you out of the pit and the grave, and He's given you eternal life, and you're running back to Him to show your thankfulness and your gratefulness for that act of love for you. Go ahead, Eric. Church to run to the Father. You can do it anytime, any moment. You can do it laying in your bed before you go to sleep. You can do it when you wake up in the morning. You can run to the Father while you're driving to work. It's just when we turn our affections and our hearts toward Him, letting Him know that He's the number one in our lives. We choose to make Him number one in our lives. We make the right decisions to make Him number one in our lives. And we do that, we're running to Him. Because He's been running after us forever. So it's our turn to run back to Him. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Greet somebody. Love you. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
Do you want to say something? Good morning. Good morning, church. We are going to get into our declaration. I think he set it up there. Yeah, he's right there. So we're going to do declarations over our city. So if you guys would stand with me as we declare great things over the city of Yakima, the Yakima Valley. Go to that first slide. All right, let's do this together on three. One, two, three. Thank you, Lord, for what you are doing in the Yakima Valley right now. And today we declare that my city will be saved, that revival will sweep the streets of the Yakima Valley, that every business, big or small, will thrive, that the families in my city will have all of their needs met. I declare that every politician in our city and state would have the wisdom of heaven, that you would use me in doing all of these things, and I declare that your will be done in Yakima as it is in heaven. Amen. God, we thank you so much for our valley. God, we thank you, God, for what you're doing, even when we can't see it, even when it's hard to believe, even when it's hard to really make these declarations, God, that you're still moving in our valley, God. And I thank you, Jesus, that we get to call this place home. I thank you, Jesus, that you're not done with us. You have not forgotten us, God, and that there's a mighty move of God happening in our city, happening in our valley. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. You guys can be seated. Only have one real announcement, and it's this. So Christmas Eve, which is next Sunday, we won't be having a regular morning service, okay? So if you come here, you're more than welcome to worship. You will be outside in the cold. So we are going to do a special Christmas Eve service at 4:30 to 6, and then we're going to have some time of refreshments and maybe some snacks afterwards. And so, again, this is a great opportunity to invite somebody, invite a friend, invite a family member that doesn't have a home church, and have them come worship with us. All right. We'll send out a text as well through this week to remind you guys. That way nobody gets confused. about that. And so the last thing is thank you for giving. You know, real quick, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday. I'm at my barber, actually. He was cutting my hair, and he was asking me about tithes. He's like, does your church do tithe and offering? And I just thought it was a funny question. It's like, what church doesn't? But I was like, yeah, of course. And then we got into this conversation, and he doesn't go to church or anything like that, but great guy. And we just got to talk about the beauty of what it is to give to a house. And I told him, I was like, here's the thing. If you ever go to a place and you feel pressure to give, like, don't give. Because ultimately, he's after your heart, right? Like, he does all the money that you have belong to him? 100%. But if you don't have that revelation in your heart, then work on that first before you start giving. Because God's not looking for robotic givers that just kind of give it because that's what we're supposed to do. That's right. Yes, we're supposed to do it. Nonetheless, it's all about this. Amen. And so I bless the offering. I bless the tithes. Thank you guys who give to this place. Again, you guys know you can give online. You can give in the boxes here and there. And we appreciate all you do. In Jesus' name, Pastor.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We are still obviously in the Christmas time, so I have the message that I next message that I have on the whole armor of God being equipped for war is pretty intense. So I really want to save it till after the first of the year. So today, and this was on my heart, and it was funny because I like it when the music lines up with the message. It always just blesses me. And so I saw we have a post that goes out that lets everybody know what the worship music's going to be for that week. And I think it was like Tuesday that Vicky requested, can we do Emmanuel by Brian and Katie Torwalt? And I saw that, and I was going to post in there. Oh, that's going to... And I said, no, Lord, I'm not going to get involved because that was just a request. So I didn't want to put it in there. So the message today is Emmanuel. So the Lord knows what he's doing. I have shared on Emmanuel before because it is one of the main messages of Christmas. But today, hopefully, I'll put that not necessarily twist on it, but a new reflection or a new facet of it, maybe a new perspective of what it means for God to be with us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you that you have come, Lord, and you didn't just come as a baby one time, Lord. You have come to live and dwell in us, to be with us. You never leave us or forsake us. So, Lord, today I pray that revelation, Lord, that truth, Lord, that you are Emmanuel, that you're God with us, Lord, that would permeate our hearts, Lord, in such a deep and significant way, Lord, that we're not the same, Lord, that we're changed. That means, Lord, we want your truth to become reality in us. We want your truth, Lord, to be experienced in such a way in us, Lord, that it helps make us free, helps us live a new dimension of freedom and life in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Emmanuel. There's several songs, and one of the songs that I really love, it says, God with us, revealed in us. And I really believe that's really what Christmas is all about, God revealing himself to mankind. God was so misunderstood for so long, and you know, we know that Jesus was even misunderstood when he came, that a lot of people did not really recognize him because he didn't look like what they thought God would look like. They were thinking God was going to be some kind of entity that was going to squish them like a bug if they got out of line. And what they saw in Jesus was compassion and love and believing even in those who were all messed up at the time and seeing the greatness in them. And I believe that that's what God is doing in our day in us, that he is revealing to us who we are as his children. I was talking to a pastor this week, and he, just like I, believes that the Lord is really stirring his body, that he's causing us to get our attention and our focus back on him, running to the Father, so to speak. And so let's look at a few scriptures it's never a few scriptures with me. Let's look at the Word. Let's just go to the Word. If we go back to Exodus 33, 13 through 15, this is Moses, and he's praying to God, and he's asking the Lord for his accompaniment with him. And he says this, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people." Israel had been taken out of Egypt and they were now in a place of basically traveling throughout the desert. And as Nancy was sharing, they were looking for rest. And they thought that the rest was going to be in like a physical state. But really their rest was to be totally reliant and resting on God. And they could never get that in their hearts and in their minds. And so Moses is saying, this nation, consider this nation in my prayer here. And he says, now God repeats back to him, and he said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Now you see that with you is kind of in a italicized. That means that that was added by the translators. It's inferred that God is saying, I will go with you. Not I'm going to go someplace else. I'm going with you. Moses then says to him, then he said to him, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. In other words, God, if you're not going to be with us, Father, if you're not going to be with us, you know, strong arm of the Lord, if you're not going to be with us, don't take us from this place because we're not going to be able to do what we need to do without you. I believe that needs to be our heart and our prayer. Now, to them, the idea of God being with them was the cloud by day and the fire by night. That he would be there to overcome their enemies, that he'd be there to give them instruction through Moses so all the people could hear what God wanted to do. It's different for us today, and hopefully I'll be able to communicate that truth with you. In Psalm 46, 7, and then verses 10 through 11, we hear another type of cry through, I believe this is David, for there to be a declaration like we made that God is with them. And with us. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Anytime you see the word Selah in the Bible, isn't talking about the town just down the street. It's talking about us thinking about what we have just read. So it should be a time that you pause and say, okay, whoever wrote the word Selah wants me to really think about it. In other words, read it again and see if it has something it needs to speak to your heart. Then in verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. And that word be still actually means rest. Find a place of rest. If we find a place of rest, guess what? God starts revealing himself to us. And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Again, they're thinking of God as being with them in the temple now. In other words, they went to the temple to be with God. The temple was the place where they had the Ark of the Covenant. I think in this time, actually, the temple was still a tabernacle where the Ark was there and people would go and worship. But that's what they thought when they said, God is with us. When the Ark was caught by the Philistines and it was in their camp, there was like this thought of Israel, like, we don't have the ark anymore. We don't have God anymore. And that they were feeling that they were without God, that he wasn't with them because the ark represented to them his abiding presence. Okay. In Isaiah, a scripture comes, and this is kind of in an odd part of the scripture, and you guys can go back and read all of chapter 7 if you want. But this is a scripture that is then declared to Joseph in the dream that we talked about a little bit last week. But it says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. So this is one of the first times in the Old Testament. It's only used three times in the Old Testament, the word Emmanuel. And as we'll see in a moment, it means God with us. God with us, God abiding with us, God in the place where we are. Now, I'm sure when this was spoken, and this was given to a king, and it seemed like it was talking about his son. But this is sometimes God does that in communicating a certain perspective or certain things he wants done now. He's actually talking about the future. And so if we think about this, a virgin shall conceive. Who's the virgin? Mary. And she conceived Jesus, bore a son, And his name was called Emmanuel. Now, we know his name was called Jesus, and we'll see that in a moment. But the idea of who he is, the characteristic of who he is, the nature of who he is God with us. Okay. So we read this last week. This is the time that Joseph was getting ready to put away Mary because she had become pregnant, and he had not done anything with her. They still had not fully consummated their marriage, and so he was going to put her away secretly because he wanted to still respect her and honor her and not bring disrespect to her through others. And so the dream, the angel of the Lord's communicating to him in a dream, and it says, and she will bring forth a son, this means Mary, and you shall call his name Jesus. So here we have the name that's being given to him for this son, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, a lot of you are probably not aware, but the true Hebrew name, or however you want to call it, it wasn't true Hebrew back then, but it was Yeshua, and it literally meant salvation. When Yeshua was used in the Old Testament, it meant salvation. It's very close to the name Joshua. So we have the name Jesus. It's been, modernized. And I don't think Jesus is up there saying, well, they're not using my name, so they're not using in the name of Yeshua. I know some people believe that unless you use the name Yeshua, you're not pleasing God. Well, if they believe that, then they need to use the name Yeshua. That's what I would say. I'm fine with using the name Jesus. I'm fine using the name Lord. How about a simple help me? As long as my heart's directed towards him, I'm calling out to him. But we do know that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. We know that the name of Jesus is over every other name. So it's a powerful name. For he will save his people from their sins. Verse 22. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, what prophet was that? We just read Isaiah 7. Now keep in mind, the Old Testament, the New Testament didn't have chapter and verses. This might be new to you guys, but they would write an entire book. And then later on, the translators who were translating into the different languages put it so that it was broken into thoughts and sometimes broken into actual topics. And that's where we get the chapters. But if you're reading your Bible, I want to encourage you to read back a little bit the previous chapter you were in and read into the next chapter, because you could get something out of context if you don't. So just a little Bible training tip there. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Isn't this interesting now? This was not the way it was spoken in Isaiah 7, but the angel said, and they shall call him Emmanuel. Who's the they? Well, it was the they when Jesus was living. There's actually a time where Jesus came into a town called Nain, and he actually raised a widow's son from the dead. He was already in the funeral procession, so he had been dead a while. And there was people all around, crowds everywhere. And he went up, he saw her heart, saw how sad she was, and he stopped the whole train and said, hold on. And he put his hand on him and he basically said, get up. And the man sat up out of his coffin. That would definitely be a what? That definitely stopped the crowd. So they were blown away. And one of the things that they said, God has visited us. They said it. God has visited us. It's amazing. When we see miracles, almost we always think, if we're Christians, God's involved. Don't we? God's with me. God's doing something in my life. Now, when we get to the point where we know that whether we see it or not, he's in our lives and he's working, we've gone to a place, I think, of being able to receive his presence all the time. It's when we think that he's missing that we don't acknowledge him. We don't receive the Holy Spirit's abiding presence. We learned that last week. The Holy Spirit is Jesus to us. The Holy Spirit is the Jesus that we know. And if we know Holy Spirit, we know Jesus. And if we know Jesus, we know who? The Father. Okay. So this is now where I want to take it from the idea of Jesus walking around, and he did. He did many miracles, he did many signs, and he was God with them. And we know that he eventually went away. He left his disciples, and even though he stayed with them like another 40 days after he was raised from the dead, he eventually went away, and now he is no longer here in the same tangible way that he was then. He's here by the Spirit. And he's here in such a way that we can all experience him in intimacy. Keep in mind that when Jesus was here on the earth, he was limited to what? Time and location. In other words, if he was in, let's say, Samaria, the people that were in Jerusalem that had needs had to wait for the right time and his location to be at the same place. And, you know, we're talking now that this is 2,000 years since he's been on the earth, and time and location is no barrier to him anymore. I like to say this, there is no distance in the Spirit. Yeah. And what this means is that if you're praying with somebody on the phone who's 2,000 miles away, there's no distance in the Spirit. In other words, that same power that raised Jesus from the dead, this Holy Spirit, is working at that moment. So it's as if Jesus is in both places at the same time. And you can come into agreement on the phone and you can say, yes, we believe for this miracle to be done, Lord. And guess what? Two are agreeing on earth and things take place. Yes, praise God. How about this? I heard a testimony of an individual who was watching a TV show, and the TV show was taped. In other words, this was taped several years before. And it was a word of knowledge that came that this individual at the time would be healed. And so, and it was very specific. It wasn't like, you know, yeah, there's a person with a bad back. This was like an eye problem, specific eye, right down to the doctor's details. And this was, they weren't running a live show at that time. They had put in the tape. I don't know if it was a tape, but probably was a tape back then. This was a while ago. Put in the tape, and the person watching on their TV heard the word of knowledge that was spoken 7 years before. But you know what? Jesus was with them at that moment because he wasn't limited to time or space or even normality. He was breaking physics at that point. We need to realize our God being with us means that we're not limited to this natural environment. We're not limited to the situations and the circumstances that we're running into to be the final say. Just talking to Moses. And Debbie, who has been fighting cancer, has been prayed over now several times. I mean, pretty radical prayer. The whole family coming together. We were honored to be at the last one. And we're praying for her. We're praying for supernatural works. And then they're praying for the whole family. I mean, it's like a little revival time, right, guys? And so they were debating whether or not they were going to do certain type of treatments. And they went ahead and said, okay, let's go ahead and we'll talk again. And I just spoke with him. He said, well, she's doing something that you're not supposed to do when you're fighting cancer. She's gaining weight and she's got lots of energy. And so it sounds like God is not letting the doctor's report be the final say here right now. Yeah. Amen? Amen? That's because he's with us. God with us. Emmanuel. Says that, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up in glory. So when it says Emmanuel, God with us, it was God. I know a lot of people say that Jesus was a great man. Jesus was a great teacher. Jesus was a mighty prophet. Jesus was somebody that was really being used by God. And some will fall short of saying he was God. But I'm telling you, Jesus was God. Just as much as God, who created all things, and we'll see this, was in the heavens, when Jesus came to earth, the same one that created all things was on earth. And the same one that created all things now lives in you and is with you. Yeah, wow. Amen. What's that? Amen. We do need perspective. And that's what Nancy just said. We need perspective. Because see, the thing is that we sitting here on this globe spinning however many thousand miles a minute it's spinning around the sun, we sometimes fail to realize that we're not limited to this space and time that we're in. We have a supernatural connection with a limitless God. And he is with us, that limitless God. There should be no limitations in our hearts and mind. If there are, we need to have crud removed from us. You know, that's what it talks about, the renewing of the mind. When we renew our mind, guess what we do? We are transformed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you're saying, oh, man, I wish I could be a little more like you, Pastor Mike. Well, I don't know if you want to be, you know. I bump my head a lot on low ceilings, and there's things that dynamics about me that you probably don't want to have to deal with. But just ask Kay. She'll tell you all of them. But as far as spiritually, you have the same fullness that I have. The only difference between you and me is that I've fought to get this stuff off of me. And you can do that. You can be just as crazy and radical where people will scratch their heads when they meet you. Hallelujah. But you'll bring God glory because you'll be pointing them to him. And you'll be illuminating the truth. You'll be revealing the truth by your life. I pray that that's who all of us can be. So God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, received up in glory. I cannot fail to say this little part here. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. When I first came across this and it really sunk into me, it's like, oh, when it's talking about godliness, we always think, oh, godliness is like keeping your room clean, you know, keeping the dishes washed and the same. I'm kidding, of course. In other words, keeping ourselves spotless, making sure that we're good, making sure that there's nothing going on in our lives. But godliness is God came. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen by angels. He preached among the Gentiles. People believed him, and he was received up into glory. In other words, godliness is us believing that Jesus came. Godliness comes when we truly realize that he did a work, a finished work. That's when godliness comes. I mean, we can try to do everything we want to be godly, but unless the Holy Spirit is active and working in us, because we know God is active and working in us, it's hard to be godly. Anybody else agree? Yes. Amen. It's easy to fall short of his glory. And the word for that is sin. John 1:1-2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. This is the foundation of our understanding as Christians, that Jesus and God were connected. How they were connected, I can't tell you for sure. I mean, you know, they weren't like Siamese twins. It was more like they were in triune dancing together. That's actually what some of the words in the Greek means. It's almost like Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus danced together. It was like a symphony when they worked. It's like one knew what the other one was going to do, and they were never like confused or in any kind of disorder. It was pure harmony between the three. And Holy Spirit knew the Son was going to come, and the Father knew that he was going to send the Son before they did anything. It's like the three got together and said, what do you guys want to do next? Well, I tell you what, Jesus, you know what's going to take. Father, I'm ready to go. The Word said, yes, I'm ready to do it. Amen. This is before anything was created. Before the world was created. I don't even know. Maybe even before angels were created, for all we know. God's had an eternal plan at work here. His eternal purpose was accomplished in Jesus. It says that in Ephesians 3. His eternal purpose was accomplished in Jesus. Not a purpose for, you know, 2,000 years ago. No, an eternal purpose. And a purpose that'll be running when we go to be with him in heaven, at a purpose set before anything started. That's God with us. And he was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. And the Word became flesh, see? Christmas day, Christmas morning, the Word became flesh. Jesus was something they could hold. Now he became flesh when he was in his mother's womb, but something tangible that when Joseph held him, it's like, oh my goodness, this is a miracle baby. This is God I'm holding. I think he knew it. I think he knew that the preciousness. I was talking to somebody this week, and I said, there's something about, you know, valuing and honoring someone, you know, and when you value something, it's like you're careful with it. You care for their heart. You're tender with them. And so I was thinking about when people hand me babies, it's like I go into this mode like, I don't want to drop this baby because why? There's a tremendous value there. I want to care for this baby. Make sure I got the head just right. Can you imagine how Joseph felt? Oh my God, I do not want to drop this baby, you know? I don't think he was like this with the baby, you know? Like, I'm sure he's like, oh my goodness, this is God. This is the promise we've been waiting for. This is God with us right here. I'm holding him. Can you imagine? I mean, just what he felt, what Mary felt when they saw, when they got their eyes on the promise of the Father. Oh, my goodness. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. See, when we receive the Holy Spirit, we receive that same dimension in us. The Word becomes flesh. We start taking on the character and nature of Christ. We start letting people behold God's glory as we live out our lives for him. And guess what? We're full of the same Father's grace and truth. It's there with us. It's an abiding presence. Hallelujah. Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He made himself of no reputation. In other words, he is God. He was God, and he had a place in heaven. He was worshipped by the angels. He was adorned. He didn't need to come here just so we could start worshiping him. I know a lot of people say, "Yeah, God saved us so that we could be worshipers." He has plenty of worship. He saved us so he could have relationship with us. So he could be intimate with us, and we could be intimate with him, so that we could once again have access to the Father, and we could run to the Father. So he made himself of no reputation. He took on the form of a bondservant. You know what? He took on the form of man. And he made it so that he was the lowest of low of mankind. Not through his actions, but through his surrendering. He surrendered his glory. And he surrendered his glory all the way to the cross, and especially at the cross. Could have commanded legions of angels to rescue him, it said, but he didn't. He chose to take his destiny and the Father's destiny. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's crying out, Lord, if there's another way, show it. But if not, your will be done. Sweating drops of blood, your will be done, Father. Not my will. He was humbling himself to the point of death. Why? So that we could have God with us. God with us. Revealed in us. Emmanuel. Praise the Lord. Who would have thought that Christmas was so powerful? I mean, that, you know, it's not just about a Christmas tree and some presents. But it's basically the whole hinging of man and God being right with each other again. Wow. Colossians 1, 15, 16, and 19. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And that says in 19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell. Who? Jesus. When you see Jesus on earth in the scriptures, he said, when you see me, to his disciples, you see the Father. You're not just seeing earthly Jesus, you're seeing your heavenly Father. You're seeing God. You're seeing the nature, the character, the heart of God. That's why I say when people read the Old Testament, you have to filter the Old Testament through the Gospels. You have to filter the Old Testament through the work of Christ. Because in the Old Testament, we see God through earthly eyes. But when we see Jesus, we see God through spiritual eyes. Because we see him living out his life, and it helps reveal the nature and character of God truly spiritually. Most of the people who knew the Old Testament, Pharisees, Sadducees, missed him because he did not look like God. They couldn't value him as God because he did not appear to them as their perspective of God was. Perspective, it's important. That's why Peter, a simple fisherman, wasn't messed up with all the theology and every jot and tittle and knowing every single thing. He probably was taught some things when he grew up, but he wasn't like he knew so much that he was bad off. You know, people who go to certain colleges and stuff today, they can learn all these things that literally make it so they don't even understand people in life anymore. They start coming up with all kinds of weird perspectives. And that happens even in Christian colleges. Because we think that we know God. And we have a label on our door. It says theology or certain seminary or whatever it is. And you come here and you'll know God when you leave. No, you'll know about God. You know, we can, I've heard it said before, and I want to get the saying right, but basically, we can know the Word of God, but we really need to know the God of the Word. Because I've listened to people on TV, and they know the Word of God, and they don't understand it. They're misquoting it. They're saying, yeah, it's contradictory. They don't realize that it is like a dance. It's flowing together. It's complementary. It's living and active, like it says in Hebrews 4:12. It's alive. But it pleased the Father that all the fullness would dwell in him. So John 1:1-2, that which was from the beginning. So this is like John wrote the book of John, but then he also wrote 1 John, 2 John. He didn't write in 1 John. He was writing letters to the churches. This is one of his first letters to a church. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. So what is this? John saying, that which from the very beginning, but we have seen him, we've handled him, we've seen him with our eyes. He's talking about the word, Jesus, the word that became flesh. We got to be close and intimate with him. It says that life, the life was manifested. In other words, the life was revealed. When it says that the word became flesh, it means that the word that was in heaven became revealed to mankind. The word was manifested. And we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that the eternal life which was with the Father and manifested to us. So this is basically John validating the fact that Jesus was God. He was with the Father, and then he became with us. And now he's already, at this point, he's gone. He's not with John anymore. He's not with the disciples. But as far as they were concerned, they were communicating to everyone that they could that God had visited. God came. And then their message was, God didn't just come. Now he's with us. And not only that, he's not only with us, he's in us. He can live in you. He can live in me. So this is Jesus, and he's now talking to his disciples. I was telling a minute ago how John was, when he was writing that, Jesus was gone. But this is after his resurrection. He's talking to his disciples. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. When John wrote that, he was believing that promise that Jesus was always with him. Now, if you read Acts, he was doing crazy things through the disciples then, through the apostles. And you can sometimes read that and say, boy, I don't see this kind of stuff. And so you can think, well, you know, maybe, and like some people say, they've ceased. What God was doing then has ceased. But I'm telling you, they haven't ceased. God's just really waiting, I believe, for a people that are letting him be with them and alive in them. In other words, where we are thinking of him, meditating on him, letting his presence work in us, whatever it needs to do. In other words, we're not just living a normal life. We're living a godly life. We're living a life that's set apart for him, by him, through him, for him. Amen. All right. John 14, 16 through 17. This is Jesus. Now, this is before he actually told them in Matthew 28, so it's a little out of order, but it really helps build this idea of what's going on. Jesus says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever." So Jesus tells them, "I'm going to give you a helper." Why? Because he was going away. He was going to die on the cross. This is before he died on the cross. He was going to go away from them. He was going to be, as far as they're concerned, dead, because he's going to be put in a grave. They're going to see him taken off a cross, and they're going to see, you know, that he has expired. But he says, "I'm going to come back, but then I'm going to go away again. But it's going to be good that I do, because another helper." The word in the Greek of that is paraclete, not parakeet, paraclete. And it means someone to come alongside you. That's what the Holy Spirit does, comes alongside us, is there for us, our counselor and our guide. It says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you." So at that time, Holy Spirit was dwelling with them. Later on, he's going to be in them. Does anybody know what day he became available for him to be in them? Anyone? Day of Pentecost. Day of Pentecost. Very good. 50 days after the Passover, after Jesus' work on the cross, Pentecost came in its fullness this time. And what happened was, is the church, us, it was back then, but it was us, even though they're gone, it was just as much us as it was them. And we received the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, in such a way that Jesus lives in each and every one of us now. That's what he means by he'll dwell with you and will be in you. Amen. Then he says in John 14, 18 through 20, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." This is through the Holy Spirit. "A little while longer, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me because I live. You will also live. You will live also. And at that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." See, this is another perspective we need to get. Jesus and the Father are one. Right? And it literally says that we're in him. Now, that's sometimes hard for us to get. We can get, "Oh, yeah, Jesus lives in my heart." Yeah, but you live with him in heaven now. It says we're seated in heavenly places. It says it raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So you've already been raised up. Oh, I know, I'm tweaking your brain. But these are truths you have to understand. That you're not limited to just this physical space. You're raised up in heavenly places right now. You're in him. Whatever that means. I can't tell you all the dynamics of it, but it tells me that we're not limited to what we have here just right now. We also have all of the resources of heaven. You know, we pray, "Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We can really say that because there's a part of us that's already in heaven. There's a part of us that already knows what the will of the Father is. We just need to get it in our hearts. Get it to the place where we realize it and we're able to live it out by faith. Can you imagine the authority? Yes, I can imagine the authority. I think it would look a lot like the book of Acts. Yeah. Or maybe even greater. You know, I'm of the opinion that there's double portion anointings. And what that means is it's back from the story of Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha asked Elijah before he was going to go, "Can I get your mantle? You know, I just want to, you know, I just want to have what you have, you know, because he was like his protege. He was following him all around, you know, kind of like, what are you going to do next, Elijah? Watch, I'll show you. And so he's like, I just want what you have. And obviously he was his servant and he honored him. And Elijah says to Elisha, listen, if you see me go up, then you'll have a double portion. And guess what? Chariots came. He saw him go up, and you know, one of the individuals of the two individuals that we know that did not die, did not taste death, Enoch and Elijah. And he grabs his mantle. Oh, I forgot to say, on the way over to the place that they were going to be at, Elijah smites the water, splits, and they walk through. And so basically, what ends up happening? The mantle's there. Elisha basically says, where's the God of Elijah? And boom. And so it's recorded that double miracles were done through Elisha. So if the early church was the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit, what's the latter church going to be like? What amount of glory could we carry once we realize that God is with us, that God is in us? But we got to honor what we have. We have to realize, God lives in me. God lives in me. How do I carry this weight of God living in me? How do I honor this glory that's in me? See, Jesus isn't here. He's here. How do I honor this glory that's in me? How do I live this life that I've been given with so much treasure? We have this treasure in earthen vessels. God in us. Alive in us, not dead, not just on Sunday mornings, not just when we go to a Bible study, not just when we're listening to worship, every day of our lives, 24/7, God with us. Let's let him be revealed in us. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being our Emmanuel. And Lord, we do. We say you are Emmanuel, God with us. And Lord, reveal yourself in us in these coming days. Lord, we believe you're doing something new in this world. Where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. So Lord, we believe that there's a new level of grace that's coming to your church. And right now, Father, even we just pray, Lord, for this city, for every pastor, for every church member right now, Lord. We said, let your grace abound, Lord, in us. Let your glory, Lord, be revealed in us in such a new way today. Let us live lives, Lord, so separated from the world that it causes others to scratch their head. Lord, let us be who you have called us to be because you're with us, because you're in us. In Jesus' name, amen.
The edge of time. Foundations of the earth and sky, saw it all, said that it was good. The joy was set before your eyes, you knew that you would give your life. You saw it all and said that it was good. Death, he broke the grave, our hope returned, the lost are saved, he lived our voice in never ending praise. Behold, behold the one our love is gone. Behold, behold the one our King is come. Behold, behold. Behold, behold. with us forever. Emmanuel, Savior of the world. Emmanuel, Emmanuel.
Emmanuel, God with us forever. So when you leave today, don't just leave and forget. Don't be like the person that looks at their face in the mirror and walks away and forgets what they look like. Be a hearer and doer of the word. Start believing that he's with you all the time. Start living like he's with you all the time. Start listening like he's in you. Start being sensitive to the Holy Spirit because he wants to speak to you. He wants to let you know things about Jesus and things about your life in Jesus, things that will help you become more like Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Remember, next week, 4:30 p.m. for church. If you're here to worship, to sit in the parking lot and get the glory going so when we come in that night. We're going to be doing candle lighting service. That's why we wanted to make sure that we did it at 4:30. And we tried to figure out, we can't get it dark in here. We might have got close, but come and enjoy. Gay thinks we could have done it. But anyway, 4:30. God bless you. Have a great week. Remember, God's with you. You get to sleep in. Yeah.